Every second Tuesday, our regular legal guru, local forensic lawyer and author Hayden Green joins me to look into the legal aspects of particular issues. And the issue of sexual assault and harassment in the workplace is one that has been in the headlines a lot lately. We've seen the last of the evidence given at the WA Parliamentary Inquiry into sexual assault on mine sites only last week. And today, the report of the review into Canberra's Parliament House workplace culture will be tabled in the Federal Parliament following reports of alleged sexual assault that occurred inside the office of former Defence Minister Linda Reynolds. This week, we're also in the middle of the state government's 16 days of WA campaign. So Hayden joins me this morning to talk about the issue of sexual assault from a legal viewpoint. Hayden Green, lovely to see you again. Thank you for dropping into the studio.
Thank you and good morning, everyone.
Now, one of the biggest issues that we've been looking at over, you know, several months now is the sexual assault on mine sites. There's a parliamentary inquiry. We've heard from mining companies. We've heard from people who have been sexually assaulted. We've heard from, you know, many other organisations that have come and said, you know, what the situation is around women particularly being assaulted, harassed on essentially their workplace. Now, for the fact that it's gone to a parliamentary inquiry, it shows just how big an issue this is. Can we talk about the legalities around, well, firstly, sexual harassment in the workplace, and secondly, the hearing of evidence in a parliamentary inquiry, and you know the recommendations that come out of that? How binding are they for these big companies?
All right, so let's chunk that, I suppose, three things. Well, what is, because there's a bit of a myth around what is sexual harassment. Most people think of it as being something like a sexual assault or something like that. It doesn't need to go anywhere near that. It can be the uninvited touching or hugging someone or trying to kiss someone. It can be as, I don't want to use the word low, but as far distant, if you want, from touching, to just staring or leering at someone, or putting up posters around the place, making suggestive jokes or comments, insults, even talking to someone about their intimate life can all be sexual harassment within the terms of our current legislation here in Western Australia and also at the Commonwealth level. So it's not only about touching people, it's about people feeling uncomfortable in the workplace. And we should all, I think we all got a right to go to work and feel comfortable even though we don't get paid enough or we don't really want to be there today. You shouldn't have to put up with that sort of conduct.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously when you are working in somewhere like a mine site where you're living with those people that you work with, I imagine those boundaries get blurred a lot of the time.
Yeah, they certainly do. I mean, you know, let's balance, I suppose, what I've just said. Flirtation and friendships, or even if things go further than that, is fine. But it's got to be mutual, and it's got to be consensual, and it's got to be voluntary. So I don't know how many, it might be interesting to know how many love trysts have occurred, long-lasting ones hopefully, in mining camps and places like that. I'm sure there's liable to be a lot. But when you take a group of people, take them out of their normal or the usual situation and plonk them into the middle of nowhere, especially where you've got male and female, and let's not forget that the whole LGBTI sort of people are liable to be there as well. You've got this whole mix of different people. They're all going to have different attitudes and different approaches to different things. Sometimes I think the hard thing is, well, what can I say to you if I don't know you very well? What can I say to you and not get myself in trouble?
And then add, you know, to the mix the fact that there, up until recently when the limits have been changed, alcohol was acceptable. And that brings down, obviously, you know, people's inhibitions, and those lines get blurred again, don't they?
They certainly do. They certainly do. So it really comes down, I think, to, in my mind, part of the test would be, if I say this, if I do that, if I put that screensaver on my computer or if I put that poster up, am I liable to upset somebody else? And if your answer to that is yes, not definitely will I upset, am I liable to, don't do it. Why expose yourself to to being labelled, if you want, someone that harasses other people in the workplace.
So why do you think that it's come out recently? Like, what has been, you may not know the answer to this, but what do you think has been the trigger for it to become an issue now?
I think if we look back, go back to the 1980s, if you want, and it started then, it was okay to start talking about domestic violence. You know, before that, it was something very hushed up. Go to about, the 1990s, I suppose, maybe 10 years later, and it was okay to start talking, I've been sexually assaulted. And I think that this is probably a progression from that, where people are much more comfortable to talk about things that are happening today, things that in the old days, not necessarily good old days, but in the old days were swept under the carpet or we don't talk about that. So I think this is that progression. I don't know what might be next, but it's something that needs to come out into the open.
So in terms of a parliamentary inquiry, I mean, there have been some closed hearings, so we don't know what was said in those, but generally they're public hearings.
Yes.
So we have access to all of that information. Obviously, the end goal of the parliamentary inquiry is recommendations. They make those recommendations to the companies, to governments about changing laws and things like that. How binding are those recommendations from a parliamentary inquiry? Do the companies have to take any notice of them?
No. Short answer, I suppose, is no. Probably in saying that, though, I mean, this inquiry will come out, and it's when's its report due? 28th of April. I just had to have a look then. So not that far away. It will come out, obviously, with its report, with a whole host of recommendations and commentary. It could just sit on a shelf somewhere and gather dust. I doubt that it will, because it's such an important thing. So as far as the report would generally, these type of reports make recommendations to government. This is what we need to do in legislation. As you say, to the companies, this is what you need to do in the workplace. There are, of course, various ways of enforcing things that are not enforceable. The government might say, well, before we give you a authority, let's say, to continue working on that piece of land, you must have these standards for sexual harassment in your codes of conduct, must be enforceable through your codes of conduct, that type of thing. So it might not become in legislative form, but as a code of practice.
And is that what we'll see, going back to another recent inquiry, Duke and Gorge? The recommendations are out now, and a lot of them are around changing legislation. Again, it's about, you know, the government's actually getting on board and supporting those recommendations. I mean, we've seen a lot of people very upset about the WA Cultural Heritage Bill and, you know, the fact that they say that they haven't been consulted properly on that. The federal parliamentary inquiry is saying that the new WA bill is not strong enough.
Mm-hmm. And again, it becomes, well, what is the will of the government? What do they want to do or not want to do? And I'm sure that there's lots of factors, and I'm not going to go into them being an apologist for either side, but I'm sure that there's lots of factors involved in that. And it's end of the day, it's a political decision. Maybe a change of government. Can't see that happening in WA for a while, but maybe a change of government or some pressure from other places might change the government's mind. But it really is up to the government and up to the parliament as to what the law will finally look like when it comes up. I mean, if the bill is put up for parliament and then parliament gets prorogued, that bill dies and has to then be brought back before another session of parliament and start from scratch again.
Oh, the parliamentary process.
Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it?
Isn't it wonderful? Hayden, thank you for explaining that this morning.
Thank you.
Hayden Green joining me there to talk about the legal minefield of parliamentary inquiries.